The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Do a Review, a podcast where two guys that are as fat as James Kirk is today sit down with a comic book and review it. Boldly going get where no other podcast has gone before. This is Dueling Reviews.
Ape law says that we can be as fat as we want.
Here's the thing. This week we are reviewing the much anticipated, highly awaited IDW publishing Star Trek Planet of the Apes, The Primate Directive, Issue 1.
I love that title.
I have been waiting for this book ever since they announced it, and I'll tell you right off, I feel a bit misled.
Why so?
Well, in the when this was originally, and I didn't go and find the exact article, but I know when this was originally solicited, like, at San Diego Comic-Con, it was implied that this was taking place essentially in the same universe.
Right.
What we find out from this book is, oh no, these are parallel universes. This is Mirror Mirror.
Right.
And the only difference is that instead of going over to the world where everyone is the exact opposite of you and wearing really cool goatees, everyone is a hairy monkey.
Well, you kind of have to. Planet of the Apes takes place in like the year 3054.
Well, and here's the other thing. That's the other thing that this book does. And this is why I like the Tipton's. They do a lot of these Star Trek crossovers, and I really like what they've done.
They did the Star Trek Doctor Who crossover.
I think they did the Star Trek Legion of Superheroes one, too. Mm-hmm. In the movies, they are not consistent in what year events take place.
Right.
This book clarifies, or at least this comic sets that the events happening right now are taking place at the same year that Charlton Heston's ship landed on the planet.
Right.
Now, if this were taking place in the same universe, Kirk points out that, or Spock points out, that the Earth that they arrive at is 1,700 years in the future from where they're at. So this still could have played out. This could have been a time travel story instead of parallel dimensions story.
Yeah, but I think that you run into that whole Flintstones problem where the Flintstones, you've heard my theory of the Flintstones. It takes place in the future, but not as far in the future as the Jetsons. And you can tell because they have the remnants of technology up to roughly the modern age. If the Planet of the Apes took place in the future of Starfleet, then the wrecked cities that we see would be wrecked Starfleet kind of technological cities rather than wrecked 1960s cities and, you know, the Statue of Liberty and like that. So I'm kind of fine with the alternate universes.
No, I'm fine with it. I just felt a little bit misled with all the misleading and lying that has happened around Star Trek in the last couple of years.
You're still hurt about the con revelations.
I'm not hurt about it. I'm pissed off that they lied to us when everyone said, no, this is con, this is con, this is con. No, yeah, it's not. Look at the shiny apple.
Yay, I'm a liar.
So what's happening in this story is that Starfleet has sent some spies, Uhura and Sulu, into the Klingon Empire to find out what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they escape and find out that the Klingons are building these things at the edge of their territory that are allowing them to slip into a wormhole to somewhere else. And, of course, Starfleet wants to put an end to that. There are some spaceship battles, and then the Enterprise goes through and comes out the other side and finds a planet with zero technology. And when they beam down, they find their old friend Klingon that we've seen many times in the TV series talking with an ape.
Commander Kor. I think we've seen him. Well, I guess now we have seen him.
He was in the TV series at least twice.
I think he was in the TV series, and I believe he may have appeared in an animated episode.
Yeah.
There was Kor, and there was Kang, and there was Klert, and Klam, and Klaatu.
Because this is not taking place in the future of the Star Trek universe, but in the future of a different universe, I'm kind of confused as to why the Klingons would be arming the apes.
Yeah, and I'm not entirely sure. At the beginning, we see a shadowy figure selling arms or giving arms to the apes and telling him to conquer their world. Is that...
I would imagine that it is. That's what I imagine it is in the way that the story's being told so that we can get the...
Could there be something else?
Well, there could be something else, but, you know, the apes don't have the Klingon all tied up and beating him with a... or hosing him down and him screaming this is a madhouse in Klingon.
Madhouse!
The cool thing is, in the preview for next month's issue two, does have Charlton Heston on the cover.
Well, Commander Taylor, anyway.
Yeah. Which bring up my next slight problem with the issue. I don't know what the likeness rights are in with IDW Publishing, what they have. But, you know, Sulu looks like Sulu and Uhura looks like Uhura. Spock looks like Leonard Nimoy. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, Kirk flips back and forth between William Shatner and what's his name? Chris Pine. Yes.
I can see that, and I'm not entirely sure if that's by accident.
It just feels that a lot of times I'm looking at, you know, if you're looking at up and down onto Kirk, he looks like William Shatner. But if you're looking at him front on or from the side, man, that looks like Chris Pine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, and I also think that it doesn't help that his hair is probably a little bit more blonde in the comic than it is in real life.
And if you actually look at the uniform collars, the collars of the uniforms look more new school than they do, you know, the original suits from the 60s. So I'm wondering if this is something that was drawn as a new Star Trek crossover and maybe was either redrawn or reworked.
I don't know. I don't think so. I wouldn't.
You don't think so?
No.
Or I do maybe. Like the fact that Spock has his cap back that he had
from City on the Edge of Forever.
City on the Edge of Forever. I'm almost certain that's the same cap.
I would imagine so, because that's the first thing that I thought, too. I was like, oh, there you go. Or maybe this is yet another universe entirely where Chris Pine is the captain and everyone else is from the original series.
Ooh.
And this Planet of the Apes actually is the original Star Trek Planet of the Apes. Who knows?
The new 52.
I don't know. I like the Star Trek action. I like the spy stuff. I like the space battle. Not sure about the zippy starship flying off from Klingon. What's the Klingon homeworld?
Kronos.
But I like all that stuff. I thought that was cool. There's not a lot of ape action in here.
No. And I'm wondering, you know, if when they did the Doctor Who TNG crossover, I want to say that they switched back and forth from issue to issue as to whose perspective it was.
Ah, okay.
You would have, you know, part of an issue that was mostly the Enterprise and part that was mostly the 11th Doctor.
Well, now that everybody's on the same planet, I'm sure that they will get wackadoo.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we'll get something.
They did the same thing with Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, that's true. And Legion of Superheroes wasn't half bad.
No.
Although I'm finding it interesting how many of these crossovers are now actually happening. You know, the mashup crossover is a thing now. Can we assume that these are all taking place in the same shared universe? Where there's a universe where everything happened?
Well, I don't know if it's a universe where everything happened, but I would say that the original Star Trek crew, or really just the Star Trek property, has crossed over with everything, and that it supports this idea that there are many, 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 many universes, a multiverse, if you will, right next to each other. And if we can just pierce that membrane between the universe eye, then we can go in and experience the Planet of the Apes world, or the Legion of Superheroes world, or, heaven forbid, the Doctor Who world.
Doctor Who Legion of Superheroes has not yet happened.
No, not yet. Because apparently the Federation is the only universe where they actually have figured out how to penetrate the membrane time and time again.
Not so much
Why Kirk is always featured in the articles.
Nobody on the Enterprise has the slightest idea how they do what they do. It just sort of happens.
Yeah, not even Scotty.
It's like they're at the center of the stories.
Yep.
Hmm. I really enjoyed the art this issue.
Yeah, it was really good.
The bridge scenes looked like the bridge. all of the breakdowns, all of the blocking and the, you know, the quote unquote acting, the way the mm-hmm. characters are oriented is amazing.
Yeah.
There's one shot where Kirk is coming up to the science station and it's the perspective goes out across and you can see the guy who's always in the background of that one wide shot that they keep reusing with the brown hair and the red shirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy, you could see him. He's there in the shot.
Yeah, Rachel Stott doing the art in this.
She's good.
Issue.
They also make references to, you know, deep cuts of the lore, which I like. At one point, Kirk
lore.
Yells out to Mr. Leslie.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's a recurrer, and you have a lot of stuff in here that's really well done. I like the fact that it opens with an action sequence featuring Uhura and Sulu.
Yeah.
Because that's a team we don't get to see near much
nope.
enough of.
Nope. What do we see them last together on 4?
Well, they
home?
Were together on 4. I think they did something. What was the one where Uhura did a strip tease? Was that 5?
Oh, that was 5.
5's a terrible movie, but it's got some good Uhura sequences in it.
I guess I should correct myself from earlier. This isn't just an IDW book. Mm-hmm. This is a shared book between IDW and Boom Studios. Boom Studios having the Planet of the Apes property, IDW with the Star Trek property. So this is a collaboration between two publishers.
Boom.
I wish we could get other publishers together so they could do more crossover stories. But apparently they don't want to have anything to do with one another. So I'm glad IDW and Boom are like, hey, man. Money? You want to make money? I want to make money. Let's make money together. Let's do Star Trek Planet of the Apes, the Primate Directive.
When it comes to the big two, they want to actually buy the properties and have them, which is how we have, you know, Angela and Miracle Man in the Marvel Universe now. They want to accumulate things as they roll through the universe, whereas the smaller publishers are more open to these kind of crossover potential.
And they work out so well.
They do. And because it is two licensed properties, the rights will stay with the licensors, so
yeah.
It's not even going to be a huge issue to reprint,
right?
You know, from a lot. Well,
you know,
no
DC,
more than it is to make the
DC
issue.
DC went with IDW to do the Star Trek Legion of Superheroes, and I think IDW may have still had Doctor Who when they did their Doctor Who event, but even if they
yes.
didn't, they had Titan Comics. So
Doctor Who still had IDW when they did the crossover.
Yeah. So overall, if you're looking for a fun Star Trek Planet of the Apes book. If you're sitting at home going, man, I sure do wish I could get Planet of the Apes and Star Trek together in one book. That would be awesome. Well, listen up. Here's the book for you. Now, if you're just saying, oh, I want a Planet of the Apes book, well, Boom Studios has that. If you're saying, oh, I just want a Star Trek book, IDW has that for you.
Why would you want that?
Why would
no.
you? This is like Reese's Peanut Duplet. Butter Cups. Remember back in the day, Matthew, when we were young? And the best commercial in the world was, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter. No, you got your peanut butter in my chocolate. Mmm, yummy.
They didn't talk like that.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't.
In the regional commercials, they did.
They didn't.
Yeah, the regional commercials. They had,
you know what's really weird? Speaking of regional commercials, it's completely apropos of nothing. I'm watching something on cable, and all of a sudden I see this local ad for a Florida governor and how we should vote for him. And I'm like, well, I wasn't gonna. So I'm not sure if that happened. Well, and this is a national thing, so I'm thinking somebody somewhere messed up that Kansas is seeing an ad for the Florida gubernatorial race. I'm flustered by this, but it has nothing to do with Star Trek and IDW, except that Star Trek spent a lot of time in syndication. And when I was a kid, there was a Planet of the Apes TV series.
Yeah, but not for very long. That just went one season, didn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe a season and a half, but it starred Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which I thought was fascinating.
I think I watched like one or two episodes of that show.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, nah, it doesn't have Charlton Heston in it. It's got all this weird stuff going on, you know, because I'm just a super fan of the first Planet of the Apes movie. I'm not a big fan of Beneath the Planet of the Apes. I'm not a fan of Escape from Planet of the Apes. I'm not a War of the Planet of the Apes. I'm not the one where the guys rip off their faces and worship a nuclear bomb.
That's Beneath.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not a fan
of
that.
I like the one where Eric Braeden from The Young and the Restless is in it. That's a good one.
I like Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I like Star Trek when they go to Gambler World. I like Star Trek when they go and visit the Roman Empire. I like Star Trek where they go to the planet with all the creepy kids that say,
right.
What do they say?
Bonk, bonk,
bonk, bonk.
On the
That's
head.
Right.
Bonk, bonk, on the head.
Exactly.
Yes. I like Star Trek when they go to that planet based on Busby Berkeley musicals.
I like Star Trek when they go to the Planet of the Apes. So I say pick this up. Fun read, must read. IDW and Boom made a wise choice in releasing this on December 31st because no other publisher had comics out. Well, very few publishers had comics out, which means that if you were looking to buy comics to ring out the old year and ring in the new, toss out the old year, ring in the new, whatever it was, you had limited options, and Planet of the Apes, Star Trek, is the best one.
Bring out the old year. Yeah, yeah. Commander Kor is apparently the first Klingon we ever saw in Star Trek.
Yes.
Who did an episode of Next Generation and then died in Deep Space Nine, as I recall.
I'm pretty sure he was always in the closing credits.
I don't know about always.
Just like that gray-faced alien with the creepy eyes that was in.
The one who's like, what?
And then the, where they were, the Aldarians or Altarians, later played by...
And Vina, the green girl from the pilot, played by Susan Oliver, who, by the way, Susan Oliver.
So what do you say, Matthew? Pick up this book or skip up this book?
I would say definitely pick it up because it's weird and you have to go, wait, what is it? Oh, wow, it's weird.
I think this is, man, I should always look up this stuff before I talk. I want to say this is a four issue book.
Is it a four or a six? I think it's a six. IDW tends to go in cycles of six.
Yeah, so it's probably six issues.
Let's say six. We may be wrong if you're yelling at us right now. Woohoo!
I don't see it in the fine print. Yeah, I don't see it in the fine print. So
somewhere
we'll
in
say
the
six.
We'll call it six or 10. Six or 10.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up in the next week.
First
full week of 2015, Dark Horse has Angel in Faith Season 10, Number 10, Game of Thrones Stark Wolf Sculpted Mug. So if you want to get into your Game of Thrones action, Ghost Number 11, Ghost Fleet Number 3, Hellboy and the BPRD Number 2, 1952. Ooh, I'm going to pick that one up because that was a good first story. Usagi Yojimbo Senso Number 6. I think that's the last issue of that one, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
I think you're right.
DC Comics has Action Comics number 38, Aquaman and the Others number 9, Batman Eternal number 40, Detective Comics number 38, Earth 2 number 30, and Earth 2 Worlds End number 14, Ferris number 33, Flash Season 0 number 4, that's the print issue of the digital version of the comics, Green Arrow 38, Green Lantern 38, Justice League 3000 number 13, and, of course, all the other regulars, including New 52, Lobo, and Superman.
Super Lobo.
Yes. IDW Publishing has Angry Birds number 7, Edward Scissorhands number 3, Max Maximize number 15, My Little Pony, Friends Forever number 13.
Friends Forever, yeah. La, 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 la.
Shadow Show number 3, Skylanders, V-Wars, and Weird Love number 5. I think that's not a reprint. That's got to be something new.
Hmm.
Image Comics has Birthright number 4, Deadly Class number 10, Elephant Men number 61, Fade Out number 4, The Roche Limit number 4.
Right. I think we read issue 1 of that.
Yep, we did. Or I did on the podcast. Tech Jacket number 7. We read The Fuse. That's the one we read on this show. Marvel Comics has All-New X-Factor number 19, Amazing Spider-Man number 12, Spider-Verse. That's still going on?
Yeah, Spider-Verse is Event Eternal.
Oh, Event Eternal? Okay.
Event Eternal.
Is that what Stan Lee says? Hello, true believers. Event Immortal Spider-Verse. Buy it now.
Greetings, heroes.
Angela Asgard Assassin number 2, Ant-Man number 1. Ooh, an Ant-Man number 1. I'm glad to see that character finally getting his own series.
Why don't we do an Ant-Man number 1? And see
sure, let's do Ant-Man number 1. It's a $4.99 book.
Does whatever.
Hawkeye versus Deadpool number 4.
Not to be confused with Deadeye versus Hawkpool, a different book entirely.
Yeah, Hulk number 10. Legendary Star-Lord number 7. Miracleman number 14. Spider-Man 2099 number 7. That's a Spider-Verse book.
Right.
And, of course, next week, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 1.
Squirrel Girl!
Comics and graphic novels coming out from the rest of the group. We've got Archie 663. Ooh, wonder what they're going to do when they hit Archie 666.
Hopefully reboot.
Oh, well, that is coming.
That may be why they're rebooting, that so they is, don't have an Arch 6.
Yeah, well, that would be about right if they did that monthly, because March would see the Mark Waid and, oh, dang it, now I forgot her name. Is it Fiona Staples?
Yes.
Archie relaunch, which I can't wait for that. Betty and Veronica,
oh, my gosh, they are going to do it, aren't they?
At 666?
They're going to go 664, 665, reboot.
They might. They just might.
That's funny.
Captain Victory and Galactic Rangers number 4. Let's see what else. Django Zorro number 2.
Is that still going on?
I believe so.
That seems like
this
that one's, came
oh,
out.
This is a rare Lee Virgin art edition, $50.
Oh, I thought that came out like a million years ago.
No, that just came out this in the latter half of this year, because they were teasing it at San Diego Comic-Con. Feathers number 1, Fiction Squad number 4, God is Dead number 26, I Play the Bad Guy number 2. Legendary, a steampunk adventure that gets collected into a trade paperback.
Legendary.
Let's see. New Vampirilla number 8. Pokemon Adventures, Black and White, graphic novel number 6. Oh, that's interesting. They don't have a Pokemon XY yet. Interesting. Shaft number 2 comes out next week, as does The Sixth Gun, Days of the Dead number 4. Steam Tales number 1. Oh, I don't know what that's about, but I bet it's all steampunky. Oh, no, this
Life
is more...
Life is like a hurricane here in Steamburg.
I think these are more of the, like, the legendary things. I think this is Dynamite Entertainment doing
Steam
this.
Steam Tales, woo!
Ooh, Uncle Grandpa number 4. Vampirilla Fury Tales number 3. And What Did You Eat Yesterday? Graphic novel number 6.
What?
That's the name of it. Must be a kid's book. No, it says Mature Readers. What Did You Eat Yesterday? Graphic novel, volume 6, Mature Readers, $12.95.
Boy, I hope that's not about poop.
Well, no, because the book right after that is Everybody Poops, so, you know, it makes sense. Woods number 9, Exo Manowar Classic Omnibus Hardcover. That is a $100 book. The most expensive thing that I'm seeing next week on the book side is Absolute Batman Incorporated Hardcover, $125.
Yowza.
All right, everybody, there you go. That wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing this podcast with a friend. And honestly, if you have helped us out in some way in 2014, thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. From the bottom of my heart, I don't have two.
He does.
Unless I go to the mirror universe, then it's reversed, and then I might have two.
He's from Gallifrey.
I'm from Gallifrey. But do honestly, thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you do, and I hope you continue to support us in 2015. If you thought this show was worth 25 cents, please consider becoming a $2 a month member over at members.majorspoilers.com. I want to make a deal with you guys. Matthew and I will do a whole show where we do nothing but singing.
Ooh.
If we hit 2,500 subscribers, 2,500 VIP members in 2015.
And I promise that one of the songs that I sing will be Corgi and the Jew's Pigs, Remember, including my excellent Michael Stipe impersonation.
So there you go. Also, use that Amazon link over at majorspoilers.com. Everything you purchase there, a little bit comes our way and does keep the lights on, allows us to do more things. And we do more things because we want to create more things for you, because we love you. And until next time, keep reading comics, because we know that you love comics. We do, too. And we will talk with you soon.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.